Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with Justin. Randy's not here. He's working late today, but filling in for him, we got Felix. How you guys doing? Justin, you first.
Fabulous.
Felix, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome. Are you doing fantastic? Because of the enormous box office record-setting billion-dollar opening for Ghost in the Shell?
No.
Oh. But how many times did you... I mean, you must have seen it a couple times. It did so well at the box office.
No, I saw Power Rangers instead.
That's probably the better choice. Power Rangers is definitely better than Ghost in the Shell. You might remember last week, Justin was the least optimistic of the three of us with his predictions, and was the most accurate. Ghost in the Shell made $19 million, and they were projecting between 60 and 70.
Wow. So, $1, say, Bob.
Not a success, yeah. You basically just did that. They made one-third what they wanted it to make. I saw it. It was not a great film. Rupert Sanders is just not a great director. It was just terribly directed from start to finish. Everyone seemed to be in a different movie. You know, some people are playing it super serious. Some people are playing it crazy. Some people playing it outlandish. Some people are playing it like the anime. And it just doesn't coalesce. And I know everyone is complaining about the whitewashing with Scarlett Johansson, and that is the least of the racist things in this movie. Like, it clearly takes place in Japan, and there are probably two Asian-descended actors in this film. It's all white people. They should have if they wanted to do that, they should have changed the locale or something, because it is racist. Do either of you have strong affiliations with the anime?
Nope. Nada. Other than I've seen it once... That is it. I haven't ever seen it.
Yeah, I'm in the same, but I saw it once, and I probably haven't seen it in 20 years. So.
Yeah, my copy was on VHS. That tells you how long ago it was.
I'm sure I watched a VHS copy. And so I'm not the guy to tell you if it's a faithful adaptation. Obviously, they hit the high points, but it just really wasn't a very good movie. It was like I mentioned, it was just the performances were all over the place. It was incredibly racially insensitive as far as like the background actors. No, if you want to, you know, people beat to death the fact that you need a named actress and Scarlett Johansson's name actress. They could have at least, the extras weren't even Asian. I mean, the extras were white. So Ghost in the Shell, bad movie, $19 million. Third place. Finished behind Boss Baby, for Christ's sake, which was a better film. Alec Baldwin was channeling his Glengarry Glen Ross character. Lots of ABCs and stuff, so it was worth checking out. if you have a six-year-old son.
I do not.
So, yeah. But better news, Stallone left the Expendables. Justin, you're an Expendables lover. Can you believe this? Is there an Expendables without Sylvester Stallone?
I don't see how. I mean, I guess there could be, but he's sort of like the godfather of that franchise, and it seems a little silly to not have him involved.
Yeah, I guess he had a creative, the often quoted creative differences with Avi Lerner, who's the head of New Image Millennium, which is the distribution company that produces these films. I guess he didn't like the script, the choice for a director, and certain qualitative elements of the film. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either. But like, Stallone is very business oriented, and if for him to step away, I think it means that it is not good for the franchise. At least in his mind, the direction that they wanted to go. I mean, he went so far as to fire Bruce Willis, someone that was like his friend, because he wanted more money. And he's just like, fuck you, man. It's 3 days of shooting. You can handle it. And he wouldn't do it, so he hired Harrison Ford instead. Yeah, Stallone's a no-nonsense kind of guy. I mean, he might make some silly movies every now and again, but there's a reason for what he does. And if he thinks that this is a bad idea, then he's probably right.
Yeah. Well, the first Expendables made, I think, like $110 million. Second one made in the neighborhood of like 85, and the third one made somewhere in the 60s. So Felix, is this just Stallone saying, well, I see a pattern here. Let me get off while the getting's good. I got lots of irons in the fire. I'm coming off Creed, where I got a nomination for Best Supporting Actors. Is he just moving on before it gets even more worse?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, for how involved he was with the franchise, I feel like he would want it to go forward, but the direction that they're trying to bring it in is clearly not panning out well. I enjoyed the previous three, but I don't know if I could watch one without Stallone in it.
At least his input. I mean, he wrote the first three, he directed the first one, and, you know, he's kind of the creative. I mean, and he was responsible for bringing this crazy franchise to fruition, so it's kind of feels kind of strange to have him have it without him, and I don't even know if I'm interested in watching so, I mean, if he bowed out, who knows who else is going to bow out, so now you're going to get the total C-Squad. And...
Mm-hmm. Like, if Jason Statham's not in it, Arnold's not in it, Dolph Lundgren, for crying out loud. I mean, it was really cool to see those two on screen together again.
Right.
I don't know. And Stallone knows how to make a sequel. Fucking, you got your Rockies, you got your Rambos. What else is there? Expendables,
you got your
obviously.
And my mom will shoot.
No, but I mean like sequels in general.
I know.
It's Rocky, Rambo. Is that it for sequels? But I mean, that's four and like seven. He's got seven Rocky movies, basically, if you count Creed, and four Rambo movies. Now and Escape Plan 2.
Yeah. We know there's going to be a Rambo, another Rambo, and there's definitely going to be another Creed with how well that was received.
Mm-hmm. The guy knows how to make the movies.
He does. I would think that actually this would benefit your boy Statham the most. You know, they need someone to, they need a face for the franchise, and I could see Statham being the one that takes the mantle as the head of the Expendables.
He was barely in the third one.
That's true. But isn't he kind of Stallone's right-hand man in it?
Well, yeah, but Stallone separates himself from the crew in this one, in three, and it's like new people.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, now he's got Fast and Furious money now.
Well, Stallone had mentioned recently that going PG-13 for Expendables 3 was a mistake, so maybe that was one of the creative differences. Maybe they wanted to continue the PG-13 route, and Stallone was like, no, we got to go back R.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't either.
But yeah. Some shocking news earlier in the week about out of nowhere, we thought we were done with Batman-centric news. You know, we got the bombshell of Nightwing a month or so ago, and then all of a sudden Joss Whedon comes out and says he wants to write, direct, and produce a Batgirl film based off of the new 52 version of Batgirl, so, you know, with legs.
yeah. not Felix, in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Felix, were you caught off guard with this, or was this like, are you just so in the know that you're like, yeah, Joss told me?
Well, I mean, I think it was definitely surprising. And, you know, we know his history with the other franchise, Marvel, and finishing off with, you know, Avengers 2. But it was kind of weird coming into it from a DC franchise perspective.
I guess the more important question, Justin, is do we fucking want a Batgirl movie?
I think that Joss Whedon has a way of making the character interesting. He's always had a focus on strong female leads. I'm a sucker for Buffy. I think you know that. And if he could do for Buffy what he could do, or if he could do for Batgirl what he did for Buffy, then I think we're in for a real treat.
All right. Well, we know that David Ayer is making his Gotham Siren film. You know, he's going to with Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy and maybe Huntress, whoever. Do you think that this movie, do you see a potential crossover for the for this, you know?
Sort of, maybe. I don't know. I was thinking about this yesterday, actually.
Like the too much estrogen?
Like, what if... No, I wasn't thinking that, but that's funny. So, it all started with Wonder Woman. Like, if Wonder Woman is successful, what kind of can of worms is that going to open? And I think that it's going to be... If it does really well, I think it's going to be very good for the business and for the genre and for female characters and female talent, for that matter. But then I started digging into Batgirl. And what if she has her... I started piecing it together like sort of the original Star Wars trilogy where she has her little intro story and she gets introduced to a crazy world. And then in the second movie... She gets broken, and it kind of ends with, you know, Joker shooting her and paralyzing her. And then the third movie... Oh, and then in between the second and the third movie, she's doing some sort of Oracle thing where she's in the wheelchair but still kind of able to help. And then in the third movie, she's able to regain her strength and walk again.
Be a fun little multi-film arc. I would be totally down with... seeing Batgirl to Oracle to, you know, whatever third phase of Barbara Gordon's life would be. It could be fun. Do you think that, Felix, do you think this is, since we know we're going to get a Nightwing movie, we're going to get a Batman movie, now conceivably we'll get a Batgirl movie. Do you see a time when we're going to get an Avengers-style, like, Batman family, Bat-family film?
We're going to need a bigger cave.
We're going to need a bigger cave. Sue me up, Uncle Alfred. Jeez.
Batman and Robin remastered. Oh, I love it.
It all depends on how well the upcoming DC films turn out. I did finally get around to watching Suicide Squad, and it didn't change my personal stance.
Let's pause this for a second. Let's stop everything. Okay, now I want to hear your thoughts on Suicide Squad.
What? It was a complete mess. People weren't blowing it out of proportion. It was truly just the one long train ride that just went everywhere.
All right. Now let's go back to Batgirl. Okay. So what were we saying? What were we saying before I rudely interrupted you?
So I was saying if the upcoming movies like Wonder Woman and Justice League, you know, kind of rebound from that sort of bad start, then I think we can see a valuable DC franchise going forward. But it really depends on how everything turns out. So
I just hope that they don't turn it into like the X-Men franchise where timelines are wonky and they don't make sense and it's not one cohesive story. I think that would be a wrong move, but I could see them doing that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it's already kind of... The timeline's already kind of muddled with Batman v Superman. Now we're going back to the Batman, and we got Justice League and Suicide Squads and a different... They all seem to kind of be a little wonky. But what about... I was thinking about the other day. I'm actually pretty optimistic for the DCEU because, you know, after November, Zack Snyder will have no input in the DCEU. So we'll be in pretty good shape. Come December, when it's no longer his... boat to fuck up, I think we'll be in good shape.
You're so funny.
Because I like character development and good movies?
Yes. You are... Yeah, I think that's a tall order.
It is back to tall order. Now, so far in its infancy, you know, DC has kind of been a more filmmaker-friendly studio to where Marvel, you know, they're basically churning out Kevin Feige and the brain trust at Marvel's visions. You know, that's why they're hiring mostly television directors and stuff, people who can take direction from like a showrunner slash, you know, Kevin Feige. With DC being more filmmaker-focused, do you think that that's something that was more alluring to Joss Whedon, that they understand that he knows how to make a film and they're going to mostly leave him alone? Do you think that's what alerted him? You think he's going to get any shit for jumping from Marvel to DC? Do you think anyone's going to care?
Okay. So that's an interesting point, because I feel like Warner Brothers is sort of, I always get like this Agent Smith mentality where the creative people are in a room, and then all of a sudden some guys in black suits show up with briefcases and they say, we need to make a few changes. And then the movie gets muddled and the cuts are different. And then we get news about reshoots and rewrites and directors leaving. And I think Warner Brothers just happens to be one of those studios that can't keep their hands off. And Joss Whedon, was one of his biggest problems with Marvel was that that's what it kind of turned into with the second Avengers movie. And he hated it. So I don't know if that's necessarily a good move for him, unless, you know, he's like, look, man, my movies make $1 billion. Let me do my thing and fuck off. Then that's really the only way that'll work.
He'll be like, hey, you know what the fourth highest grossing film of all time is? Oh, yeah, it's my movie. You know what the sixth highest grossing film of all time? Oh, that's my movie, too. How many you got in the top six? Oh, yeah, that's right. Zero.
Right. That's what it's got to be. He should just say, look, man, I know how to make it. I got my idea. Let me run with it. If it ends up not working out, then so be it. But I think just his name alone has enough draw to where the movie will make its money back. Not to mention just the general interest that comes with lumping his name into a superhero, let alone a female superhero story.
So taking Wonder Woman out of the equation, because I think that'll change dramatically if Wonder Woman's the hit that it looks like it'll be. What kind of budget do you think they would set for like a background movie? Because I mean, she's kind of a second tier character. She's not, you know, a major character. She's an ancillary character for a very popular character that people know. But I mean, she's not a $300 million kind of movie. Mm-hmm. And you know, Gotham City is probably expensive. So Justin, what do you think a budget would be for this?
So I think there's some ways around it. Only because when I look at a movie like, let's say, John Wick, where it took place in a big city, but it was mostly like in a hotel, right? And just different buildings, per se. But, I mean, that was in a movie with incredible action sequences, a really cool story, and it was downright fun to watch. I could totally picture, a Batgirl / John Wick kind of movie. Not so like insanely violent with shots in the head, but just fun like that. If they could find some sort of way to make Batgirl like John Wick and do it for something like super cheap, like $20 to $30 million, it would be amazing. It doesn't have to be super crazy. It's a Batman-esque kind of movie. She's a young girl, especially if it's a New 52 Batgirl, right? Isn't she young in that? She's like, yes, a kid, right? I mean, it doesn't need. It could be done in the vein of Spider-Man without her swinging all over the place. It could be done cheap if they want it to be, and still look good.
Yeah. And Felix, you get the elephant in the room question. Now, Ben Affleck may or may not be in this Batman for the long haul, and they may be apprehensive to use, you know, some of his limited appearances in a Batgirl film. Can you do Batgirl without having Batman play a role in the film? And if not, how much of the role does he have to play? Does he have to play almost like a co-lead, or do we just need him like in like a first act type thing to establish the character?
Yeah, I would see it that way. I mean, Batman has to show up in some way. You can't do a Batgirl movie without him. You can always allude to him in a certain way, but there will always be the reference back to Batman.
Like, do it Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. style. Like, oh, look, it's Iron Man flying away. Oh, you missed him. Mm-hmm. Batman was just here, I promise you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because it's also like, what do we need you for when Batman's out here? You know what I mean? There's that vibe. I mean, all the sidekicks kind of fall under that umbrella. It's like, what do we need you for when we have the real deal?
Yeah. And what about, or what about, from a timeline standpoint, we have the Batman come out, and within the movie, the Batman, we're introduced to Nightwing. And so we see Nightwing and Batman's dynamic. And then maybe the Batgirl movie, because Batgirl at some points and in some comic series is romantically linked to Dick Grayson. So could we do it that way, Justin? Could we have kind of like a domino effect to where Nightwing's introduced in the Batman, and we get established, and if he takes off as a kick-ass character that everyone wants to see more of, he be the introduction to Batgirl, and then, like Felix was saying, we mostly allude to Batman.
Sure, I think that would work. Would that
be something that interests you? Or I know we all would rather have more Batman than less Batman in these Batman films.
Right.
But if you were to find out that Batman was not going to appear in a Batgirl film, how much less interested would that make you, and would you be less interested to see it?
I don't think so. Because, I mean, even if it was just like sort of a stinger at the end with Batman, I would be, you know, like a whopping Nick Fury 30-second cameo. I think that is enough. I think that one of the struggles that Barbara has is that, you know, she's trying to do this in Batman City. So I think it'd be great if she's trying to separate herself from Batman. And just for the sake of being a strong female lead, I think the best thing that they could do would be to separate her from Batman. I mean, Batman's the best, right? So we need to see her be the best and not worry about what Batman's up to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, maybe her movie can take place during the time frame where Batman is out of town with the Justice League.
Right.
Someone's gotta keep Gotham safe while the Caped Crusader is off gallivanting with the Justice League.
Yeah, saving the world. Someone's gotta save the city while someone's saving the world.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that would be a refreshing way to keep the budget down, like you had talked about. And, you know, I think a lot of movie-going audiences are just getting tired of this just destruction porn where everything is saving the universe, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and I know it's just these people trying to scale up and it's escalation, you know. They show one building get destroyed, we got to show two, et cetera, but, you know, I think a really cool little, like, crime drama with Batgirl could be really fun, and you keep the budget, you know, depending on who you cast in the films, you keep it under $50 million. It's almost no risk because really anything with Bat in the front of it, it's going to make that much money, plus some, especially if you have a name like Joss Whedon attached to it, because it's a name people trust.
Mm-hmm. Like, even if it was something as simple as her trying to deliver a villain to Arkham, and like sort of like a raid / dread sort of setting where the place is under siege, and she's got to not only save the police, but also get the bad guy. And she's just faced with overwhelming odds, but then that narrows the location down to one place, and she gets to be a badass and beat the shit out of a lot of people, and then come out on top.
I like it. I would see that film.
There you go.
Of course, I'm sure we're talking 2020, probably. I don't think we'll see anything immediate.
And I would love for her to have a motorcycle.
Like in the original series?
Uh-huh. I think that would be badass.
I'm not with that. I like bicycles. Great, my boyfriend in college, he had a bike. Yeah. I have a, it's like a bike.
Like a bicycle. That is funny. Oh, jeez. Oh. Yeah, I think it'll be pretty good. I am optimistic about this story.
Nice. Are you as optimistic, Felix?
Eh, we'll see.
Hey, it's like Randy's here.
I know, right? But Randy likes Buffy, so I think that he would find room in his cold heart for a Batgirl movie.
Yeah, I mean, I have my issues with Joss Whedon, the TV guy, but I like his films. I think he's a talented filmmaker, and he has real talent with dialogue, which is what a lot of the superhero movies lack. And I think that he could make a really bitchin' character that women could relate to, that men would also want to watch because she's just kick-ass and fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what a comic movie should be about.
Yes, kick-ass and fun.
Yeah, like that movie Kick-Ass.
I just watched that the other day.
With Matthew Vaughn.
It was weird. I don't own it, and I was sad about that, so I bought it on Amazon. I watched it last Saturday. I forgot how long it was. It's like
it's a long.
It's well over 2 hours.
It's no USS Indianapolis.
No. Oh God. We got to save that for another show. Oh my God.
We won't talk about that without Randy.
But if you're listening to this show right now, know that next week we will be talking about the USS Indianapolis, which stars Nicolas Cage, and our only real exposure to the whole story of the USS Indianapolis was the awesome monologue that from Jaws with was it Robert Shaw? Is that who it was?
Robert Shaw, yeah.
Yeah, talking about the ship being sunk by a torpedo during World War II, and the torpedo being the least of their problems because the sailors were stranded out to sea and had to deal with sharks. 900 men went into the water, and only a couple hundred made it out. And that's what you get to deal with. Nicolas Cage fighting sharks. It's on Netflix. Watch it. Love it. relive it on this show next week. We will be talking about it, and I can't wait.
It's probably one of the most beautiful monologues ever on film. And I can't wait. I haven't seen it yet. Randy and Justin and Felix have all seen it. So I will watch it just to see what the dumpster fire that is Nicolas Cage can do with it.
It is drink before you watch it. That'll help.
It'll make it go faster.
Oh my God, it's long.
So yeah, so make sure you tune in next week for that one. But we had a slew of trailers get dropped this week. Some we'll talk about, some we won't, because some are just dumb, like Valerian and the City of 1,000 Somethings. That just everything I see about it makes it look even worse and worse and worse.
But. Yeah, I still don't know what that is. Weren't we talking about that last week?
I don't even know anymore. It's just they got the same music in both trailers, and they have like 2/3 of the same footage, and it just looks bad. But what doesn't look bad is it. It looks scary, and so I won't see it because I'm a weenie. But Justin likes scary. He likes the original It, and he's got a thing for when they open like doors and like balloons come out. I don't know. Justin's weird. So. Justin, explain to me.
I just like to be scared, that's all. I think it's fun. It's an enjoyable quality about a movie sometimes, just feeling terrified.
Well, tell me what you liked about this trailer.
Sure. So we all know that I'm a sucker for horror movie remakes, only because the originals are so dated, and it tends to be younger audiences that really enjoy horror films. We all go through that era in our lives where we... At least we did when we were kids, where we would rent a horror movie and with our friends at a slumber party, and it'd be really scary. And that could range from what... I mean, I started early. I was like 8. But, you know, 8 to being a teenager. And it's really cool to see a remake because teens can relate to what's going on the screen now as opposed to what was going on the screen 30, 40 years ago. You know, you get dated really fast. So I am a sucker for remakes. Of course... It was 1990, but either way, that's still almost 30 years ago, for crying out loud. So, it's well worth revisiting. Of course, Tim Curry was the clown Pennywise, and he is just scary no matter what he does. He's got that evil grin, and in this case, it's Bill Skarsgård. But the makeup looks fantastic, and a little bit of pee came out when I watched that trailer. Seeing the kids be scared, like when they're watching the slideshow and they're getting scared and they're screaming, that just ran chills down my spine.
I had a similar reaction, but mine was mostly like, I shouldn't watch this. Don't watch this. Don't watch this. And then the opening is when that stupid little boat's going down the gutter and it's about to go in that little sewer. And I'm like, it's David. You're going to jump out and you're going to get scared. And like, no, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to be brave for myself watching this alone for some reason. And sure enough, the stupid clown comes up and I get scared. I'm like, God damn it. Why am I watching this? And I'm like, I got to watch it because people are going to talk about it. And we're going to the sewer and he's jumping out of the fucking sewer and he's running fast. And then he's got the slideshow and I will not be seeing this film. Not because it's no good. I'm sure it'll be great. It looks fun. Stephen King seems to be all about this movie. He seems to be really happy with how it turned out. I just don't like being scared. I'm a wuss, I know. I'll see it, and then it'll start raining, and there'll be a noise outside that I have to investigate because I'm the dad, and it's my job, and a cattle jump, and it's going to scare the fuck out of me.
I wonder if more people are going to dress up as clowns again. Remember there was like that whole thing where just random folks were dressing up as clowns? That just sounds like a bad idea. Given the amount of fear that people have of clowns and how crazy gun nuts are just out there, I think that you just wearing a target on your chest when you dress up like a clown.
Yes. No, don't do it.
Yeah, don't.
What do you think of the trailer, Felix?
Well, David, you're a braver man than I, because I didn't even watch it. I don't like the horror.
I don't blame you.
Your buddy Finn Wolfhard's in it, too, from Stranger Things. The main kid. That's not the girl.
What?
The Dungeon Master kid from Stranger Things.
I still haven't seen Stranger Things.
Are you fucking kidding me? No. God, you're the worst.
It's your guy. It's your favorite guy.
Oh my
From that show you haven't seen.
Felix, you're killing me.
Oh no, I'm terrible.
You are. You are the worst. I'm gonna
stuff on Netflix.
I'm gonna edit the Wikipedia page for the worst, and it's gonna have your Chinese face all over it.
With no words, no text.
Just my face.
Just a picture. With a big red worst over your face.
Anyway.
What about The Mummy? Did you watch that trailer, Felix?
Wasn't as scary, no.
What did you think of that trailer?
It was interesting. Maybe I'm one of the few who actually enjoyed the Brendan Fraser films because of their campiness.
That's like Randy's favorite movie.
Oh, really? Okay.
You'll find no fight that the first Mummy is a great movie.
Mm-hmm. It's just
from there, the fight gets a little... I'd even go the second one's entertaining. Third one is
awful.
Bad.
Awful.
But I guess, yeah. All of a sudden the Yetis are talking and...
Yeah.
No Rachel Wise. I'm like, well, I'm out.
Oh, yeah. It's that other chick.
Maria Bello.
Bello.
Yeah. I like her, but I like Rachel Wise better.
Yeah. So, I mean, this new trailer, I mean, the new Mummy, is. I'll probably go and watch it, but I am sick and tired of seeing that trailer with the whole quiet scene in the C-130.
Well, they're going to show that everywhere because they actually shot that practically. And they're so proud of the fact that everyone was thrown up when they're shooting that. So that's going to be like the hallmark of this film. Kind of like how we used to always see like the Mummy's face in the sand in the first Mummies. This is that version of it.
Gotcha.
But Randy, you know, he's your fellow lover like Randy. Randy has a problem that this is set in modern times and not in like 20s, like the original Mummy. What do you have a problem with the setting?
I don't. I think it's very similar to the feeling I had with King Kong. And that one, modernizing it, I think definitely attracts more of an audience. But this one, I don't know. For me personally, it could go either way. But again, a lot of like sort of reboots or sequels set themselves in the modern time just to try and make the audience relate to it a lot more instead of having to deal with old technology and, stuff like that. So,
yeah. And since Randy's not here to defend himself, I'll make wild accusations that aren't true. Like, so Randy is a rampant sexist and just hates all things women and is vehemently opposed to a female mummy. What are your stances on a girl mummy?
Not a problem at all.
Better man than Randy. You heard it first here, guys. Randy.
What?
Rampant sexist.
Just making shit up.
Randy's going to be just screaming at his iPhone right now. Like, wait, what? What? That's on the internet now. People are going to believe it. I can't run for office anymore. What about you, Justin? What were your thoughts on the trailer? Yay, nay, meh?
Yeah, I'm just not into it, man. I don't know why. It's just not sticking with me. I think I'm too much of a fan of the original, and it's not even that old. and I feel like it's weird to revisit it now.
Yeah, it's totally valid. We got our first glimpse at Russell Crowe as Dr. Hyde, or Dr. Jekyll, and presumably eventually Mr. Hyde, since we know all these movies are going to interconnect. You know, we already have, you know, Wolfman movie coming out. We got Frankenstein. We got all these things in the pipeline. But I'm curious where Tom Cruise is going to fit. I think he's going to bridge over all these. And we were talking that maybe he could be Van Helsing, and maybe that would explain why he's kind of got some special powers in this one. He survives the plane crash, it looks like.
Yeah.
Evil chose him.
I don't know. Not into it. The one movie I did like that was supposed to kickstart that whole monster franchise.
Dracula Untold.
Yeah, it just sort of got kicked by the wayside.
Poor Luke Evans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and those terrible Hobbit movies.
Oh, yeah. And the Immortals. He was in that, too.
No one talks about the Immortals. Mm-mm. They should, though.
It's good.
All right, well, you weren't a fan of The Mummy, but I know you were a fan of War of the Planet of the Apes. What did you think of that trailer?
Ooh, it looks like it's going to be a powerful movie, and I'm going to cry a lot. I don't like seeing animals get hurt, Dave, and Woody Harrelson's going to shoot them all in the face, and it makes me sad.
Because they look so real.
They do. Like, you see their emotion, and their eyes, their beautiful, sad eyes. It's just, it hurts my heart.
Caesar making it out of this one?
God, I hope so. Because that, I mean, he's in 5. I mean, The Legend of Caesar, at least. And he sort of lived a really long time to lead his people. So it would be sad if it gets cut short and they just make this a trilogy. I mean, I understand it if they make it a trilogy. But I would love for him to make it through to the end and continue to teach his people.
Well, he only lasted 3 of the original 5, so this is his 3rd one. And it was Cornelius was his dad. He made the first 3, and then they switched to Caesar. So maybe Caesar is the new Cornelius, and he'll die saving his son in the 3rd one, and his son will grow up to be Cornelius. They'll reverse it.
Well, maybe they'll make,
facto, I'm your dad.
Maybe they'll make Caesar a title, like Romans.
Like the Romans? Get you bringing history to this. You smart motherfucker.
Remember Boogie Nights when he's like, you know, when Napoleon was king? the Roman Empire. Oh my god. He's like, is jealousy and vindictiveness and evilness like when Napoleon was king, you know? In the Roman Empire.
The best.
Oh. That's amazing.
What's your stance on the Planet of the Apes franchise, Felix? Both original and the new versions.
All right, Justin's going to hate me more. I never saw the originals. I only saw the new.
You're young. They were on TV all the time when we were kids, so.
Gotcha. All right, well, I enjoyed the previous 2 thus far, so it's going to be interesting seeing the humans try and fight back. I mean, I'll probably be pretty sad if Caesar dies too, but you know, it's got to end at some point, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Maybe not Logan style, but
goes out saving everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like Woody Harrelson's going to continue the line of just terrible, terrible humans. It's like they want us to root against the humans.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Basically rooting against ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. And finally, the last trailer we'll talk about is Spider-Man Homecoming. Everybody's favorite web-slinger is back, and a teenager. And everyone's like, oh my god, I love you so much. Spider-Man, do stuff to me. Felix, what's your favorite part so far about the Spider-Man?
Just being able to, I mean, we saw it in Civil War, but just the interaction with Iron Man, Tony Stark there. I think the whole concept of, you know, adding to that bigger universe after seeing all those other characters interacted with each other, but never seeing Spider-Man do it outside of Civil War. I think it's nice to be able to, you know, see a single Spider-Man movie with that interaction now.
Spider-Man. Well, I didn't recognize it without the inflection. Now, Justin, tell me if I'm crazy. From the trailer, I'm getting the vibe that he's going to start out with his super suit that Tony Stark gave him in Civil War. He's going to screw up at that boat that we see in this trailer, the ferry. And then Spider-Man's going to take his suit. And then we're going to have a second act where we're going to see like him having to be cool guy science and like design his own suit, do his own thing, his own tech. And then finally in the third act, you know, Tony Stark will need his help or decide that he needs a better suit and give him his new suit, maybe the Iron Spider suit, who knows? And then they'll kick some ass. Does that sound like it holds water, or do you think that he's going to lose a suit far off in the future?
No, I think that's a pretty accurate timeline. It's got to be the man makes the suit, not the suit makes the man. It's basically going to be Iron Man 3 and Spider-Man Homecoming.
All right. With a better villain, hopefully, right?
Yeah, so Michael Keaton looks like he's a scary dude in those trailers, and he's not afraid to murder people to get what he wants.
Yeah, it looks like he's part of Damage Control, which is this Marvel group of individuals who, you know, when the Avengers and everyone destroy the world, there's this government agency. I don't know if they're actually government agency. There's this agency called Damage Control, and they're the ones who go through and they repair the buildings and they fix all the damage that the supervillains and superheroes have caused. And so it almost looks like Michael Keaton's Vulture character is a member, because they're all the shots are on like construction sites and stuff like that. So I thought it might be a cool way to like introduce him as a villain if he's just part of this crew who's just tired of fixing the mess that these superheroes make, and he just comes unglued, becomes a villain to take them out because of that.
Who watches The Watchmen?
Who indeed?
Your buddy.
Zack Snyder. I'll use that.
You gotta say it three times and then he'll appear.
All right, let's not do it again. But
like Beetle Guys.
Yeah, Beetle Guys. Do you mean that universe? So out of the four movies, Felix, which two are you most looking forward to? We talked about It, The Mummy, War of the Planet of the Apes, and Spider-Man.
It's probably going to be the two, the War of the Planet of the Apes and Spider-Man.
All right. What about you, Justin? Are those the two out of the four, are those the two you the most excited about?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I'm in. It has piqued my interest, but I think when out of this particular group of films, Spider-Man and War of the Planet of the Apes, for sure.
Yeah, I think I am in agreement with the two of you because you are both much smarter than me, and in this case, totally correct.
The mummy can eat a fat pea noose and be buried with it for all I care.
I bet it's awesome. Just no, nope. It's just not clicking with me yet. But I think it'll be fun. Mm. I hope it'll be fun.
I mean, and I'm the guy that goes and sees all of Tom Cruise's movies too. I'm just, for whatever reason, this one's just not resonating.
Not floating your boat. Mm-mm. Did you see that Jeremy Renner's not going to be in Mission Impossible 6?
I did not see that.
Yeah, so no Renner in 6. So I don't know if that means his character is just done or just taking a break.
I think I liked the last one, Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue Nation. Yeah, Rogue Nation. you did like it. You liked it a lot.
I did. I liked Ghost Protocol a lot too. I think the last three were pretty goddamn good. The third one had Philip Seymour Hoffman in it.
Mm-hmm. That one was a bad dude.
That one was pretty good with the rabbit's foot, and I dug the shit out of that movie. And Ghost Protocol was pretty amazing, especially with that whole scene in Dubai. And then
climbing the building.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah, even 2 at the time was good. It doesn't hold up well right now. It's pretty abhorrently sexist.
But, I only saw it once. That was
it was pretty good. I mean, I was a big, it was John Woo's kind of trying to come into American cinema and stuff like that. And it definitely had his cinematic flair. And then Abrams did the third one, and it had his flair. And Brad Bird. And
had his lens flair.
And he definitely had some freaking lens flair. Three's all sad. Like, he saves Carrie Russell's character. And yeah, says, thanks, Ethan. He's like, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that's too bad.
It's going to be like that.
It's like, hey, you got Forrest Whitaker eye over there.
I'm like, oh. Speaking of Forrest Whitaker eye, Rogue One comes out on Blu-ray this week. So
some of us got it digitally.
Some of us.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no.
Some of us will pick up physically.
Yes.
I
still purchase Star Wars discs.
No,
yeah. I have to get it from Target because they have cool bonus features.
They got Super Mega Collector's Edition now.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna fit awkwardly on your shelf with your.
Oh, is it big and stupid?
It's big and stupid, big old box.
But you can change the cover.
Yeah, I saw that, but it's like, why does it have to be big and stupid?
It's like that.
The disc's the same size.
I know, but it is like the size of three Blu-ray movies together. The packaging is. I'm not so sure about the actual item, but the packaging is about three discs deep. If you were to put three Blu-ray packages together, that's about the size of it.
So like the thickness?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but it's not like taller.
No.
Well, oh, that's.
I mean, I don't know. It might be.
Is it hard?
That's what she said.
Well, I only asked because Force Awakens, the Target exclusive, was cardboard. And that was like, no way.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. It's in a weird packaging. It's in a weird boxy kind of packaging.
So I'd imagine it's hard because it has those replaceable covers. So, I'm assuming they just give you different inserts. So in that case, it would have to be a hard case, but who knows?
Best Buy
has a steelbook if you're a steelbook kind of guy.
I am for games, but not for movies.
Hmm. Yeah, some of them are cool, but I'm like, I'm not paying extra for that shit.
The only cover that I had to get was in Sin City. I had to get the Jessica Alba cover. There were different covers for that movie, but ain't no way I was gonna get one without Jessica Alba on the cover. I could watch her dancing like fucking Shark Week in slow motion with the great whites breaching the surface.
Yeah, the only film I had to actually have a steelbook for was, they did a Reservoir Dog special edition where it was a gas can.
Oh, so it looked like
the steelbook, so I got that, but the other steelbooks I got just because they were the same price as regular ones.
My Reservoir Dogs was the one when they did the different colored boxes for them.
Yeah.
Where there was like an orange and a brown and a blue, or not a blue, but a pink.
And yeah, I have a Mr. Pink one of those.
White, yeah. I got orange. That's all I have to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that. But that's all I got. You guys got anything else you want to bring up? Anything I missed?
I don't think so.
Can't think of anything.
Like a big old no. All right.
I always think of stuff after the show.
Yeah. We'll just get back on and record something then.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I forgot.
Like, one more thing. There's David. Never will know it all.
Yes, but Hawkeye is not going to be in Mission Impossible. I just happened to be on IGN.com right now, and one of the top article says, Sigourney Weaver, Avatar 2 scripts are amazing.
Oh. And it's not like she has anything vested in there or anything.
Yeah. So there's that.
We're seeing that movie.
No.
No, they don't exist.
Set to be released in 2020, 2022, and 2023.
We're going to be dead.
Yeah. No, they don't exist.
It's like the Kennedy files, where they were supposed to be released, whatever, like 70 years after his assassination.
Yeah, 75 years after, and we've got Cessna in 63, so we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's 20 more years.
Jesus. People are living longer, though. Maybe they'll delay it.
Yeah, we're at 54 years, so yeah, 21 more years, and we'll know everything we need to know.
Which is just going to be a copy of fucking JFK by Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone. You like, and just like picture of someone's middle finger, like, fuck you.
Yeah, fooled you.
Can't you read?
No parking.
Well, awesome then. Well, thanks for filling in, Felix, for Andy, and hopefully you'll be able to make it back Sunday when we talk about the mighty USS Indianapolis, the Nicolas Cage masterpiece.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so thanks for joining us, guys, and make sure that you listen to the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. You know, we got the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Stephen K. James. We're talking about cool shit in video games and having a blast doing it. Just loving life. And then we got the Comic Corner Podcast with Tyler and Jeff, where they're talking about comics on their pull list, and they'll make you sound like you know stuff about comics when you probably don't, like me. But yeah, follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter. I think it's the other way around. I do it every week. And at Geek Legacy, and go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Thank you.